Welcome back, everybody. We are here, another episode of the One Great Work Warriors. I want to welcome you all back for this great discussion. We have a great, great topic that we're going to be breaking down, and the topic is the methods of manipulation. And I think this is going to be a really powerful one, one that we can really dig into. I also want to remind everybody that if you do want to weigh in on this topic, that Chris Jansen will be having a roundtable, a live roundtable, on the End Evil podcast, and that will be on the 7th of this month. So if you want to get in on this topic and let us know your thoughts, please show up to that, and then you'll be able to join the panel and give your thoughts on it. So just want to put that out to everybody, and let's go ahead and dive into this, the methods of manipulation. And I know, Jim, you want to kick this off, so let's get into this.
Cool. Thank you, Rick, and thank you all you guys. I'm always grateful and honored to be able to share this platform with you guys. So thank you. All right. So today we're going to be talking about the methods of manipulation. So before we get into the methods, let's just start with the definition. So manipulation is to control or play upon by artful, unfair, or insidious means, especially to one's own advantage. So I think the key word here is control, right? Like, how do you control other people to do what you want them to do, right? And in other words, to create an imbalance of power so things work out in your favor, right? So like creating that imbalance. And like us here, we're always talking about natural law and consciousness, like shifting the consciousness in that. And like that right there, the imbalance, like when we talk about laws of nature, rhythm, that's all about balance. And, you know, and what are the consequences of not living in balance, you know, in all aspects of life? So, and then, consciousness, when it comes to consciousness, we're always trying to figure out ways of how we can, you know, help people get out of this moral relativistic way of being and thinking and believing. And, so, and of course, moral relativism too is definitely a method of manipulation. So, so we may get into that later. But before we get into the methods too, I just wanted to offer for your consideration, what are the origins of manipulation, right? So, like however many thousands of years ago, there was what happened. There was a shift in humanity's consciousness. Right. When human beings figured out how to manipulate, right, keyword manipulate nature, that was really the beginning. That was the birth of our culture. Right. When man figured out how to manipulate nature to increase food production and increase population. And, you know, this consciousness shift didn't all happen at once where like it all the people did this at once. There was a few here and there. And as they grew and spread and then started to enforce their way on to the other people who had been living this the same way in rhythm, in balance with nature for millions of years. That's like the evolution got us to that point. And then this new consciousness said, well, now your way is wrong. You guys have to do things our way. And that was like really the beginning of government, right? When rulership over people. When other people started to say like that they had the right to tell others that they have the what to do, like our way is right and your way is wrong. And so that consciousness spread over the thousands of years, and you could see it in most recent history in the Native tribes of America. And you know how those people, they were living in harmony and balance and rhythm with the nature of the land. And some were hunters and gatherers, and others were practicing forms of agriculture too, but not in a way where they were like disrespecting or plundering the land, and nor were they going to the other tribes and saying, your way is wrong and our way is right and you have to do things our way. It wasn't until that agricultural consciousness came across to America and they started to manipulate the people and saying, our way is the right way, your way is wrong. And, you know, you could see how that played out. So what I'm trying to get at is we are all descendants of tribes who have been manipulated to believe there is only one right way. And this consciousness has taken over humanity, and it all began with man's ability to manipulate nature, right? Keyword always manipulate. And by manipulating nature, that was the beginning of the imbalance, right? And hence the creation of the imbalance of power that we see today that we talk about when it comes to authority. So all right, I'll pass it off to whoever wants to go. We'll get into the methods.
Manipulation. For me, it's interesting the word manipulation because I've been in construction and carpentry all my life, and that's what we do. We manipulate things into place, and you always find yourself having these disagreements with inanimate objects, and you're trying to coerce an inanimate object into doing as you want it to do, and that's really what art is in a lot of ways, whether it's sculpture or anything. There's nothing bad or evil about manipulation. But the type of manipulation that we're talking about in this episode is the most sinister of all, one human manipulating another for their personal gain. And this can be groups of people manipulating other groups of people for the gain of their group. Or it can be whatever you can imagine in between. And then within a society, like Jim's saying, that there's been human to human manipulation going on for generations. We might all disagree a little bit about where in history things got worse, or how much worse, or how much worse they are now than then. But it's definitely evident that all through history that we know of, we've had this repeating pattern of humans trying to enslave other humans. And in the modern day, the type of slavery that we're experiencing is not always obvious. In fact, most people that I talk to would not like to admit that they're in a state of slavery. And I find myself trying to convince people that the situation is worse than they recognize it is. And one of the ways I've found to kind of paint this picture is to kind of like look at the walls of the cage that we're in, point out the bars. How else do you describe to someone you're trying to tell people you're in a prison? And they're saying, no, I'm not. This is the most free thing we've ever had. That's literally what people think. And you're saying, look, I can see the bars. I can describe them. I can describe their shape and color, and I can describe why you can't get out of them. And so that's kind of like, I think the importance of the conversation we're having today is, how do they enslave us? How are we enslaved? What are the actual things, so we can point out and describe what those things are and how they work, so people can better see them and understand that that is the case. That is indeed what's going on around us. And we can kind of get on the same page as much as possible. So I hope that what I'm just trying to do is summarize what we're trying to get at here. And I hope that that is a good summary. I'll pass it to Brandon next, and you could give your interpretation of what we're trying to do today and see if we're on the same page on that.
All right. And thank you, Jim, Chris, and thank you, Derek, Jerry, and Rick, for always, being consistent and making these sacrifices to, try to raise human consciousness. The term method got me thinking of Method Man from the Wu-Tang Clan. But the etymology of the word method is a way of doing something, a way of, like a way of doing pretty much anything. So, we talked about the methods of manipulation. This reminds me of early in Marx's work, when he talked about how humanity's consciousness is being held back. And one of the things that he had brought up was the manipulation of our primal fears. So that was one of the things that I had selected was, how they use this to control us. The four that he had listed was darkness, fear of predators, fear of abandonment, and fear of chaos. And I was thinking that all of that pretty much springs out of the fear of death. And let's take the fear of predators. You know, they constantly use repetition to install these indoctrinations and, you know, like in these belief that there's always some boogeyman out there. You know, they're doing that today. And then also they also twist these, you know, these primal fears by getting certain individuals portrayed in people's mindset as the predators. You know, those darn gun owners who own AR-15s, they're the predators. You know, those people who love freedom, they are, you know, how the predators. So it's twofold. Psychopaths are very good at twisting because they don't really create. So they're always twisting the narrative. And just look at, you know, the fear of chaos. They always use, you know, terms like national security, or, you know, it's for your safety, or it's all about being secure. Well, I never asked you to, you know, to be my security. So hell, again, they always use these methods to twist, you know, to take something and twist it. And then they constantly will repeat this. They will constantly use means to indoctrinate you to get you to believe in these fears. And let's look at the fear of abandonment. We saw this during the whole scamdemic. You know, people wasn't really, you know, willing to use their voices. And then you also, you punish, you know, you use some of the positive reinforcements to punish those who, you know, who do speak out, you know. So people see what's happening, you know, they see what happened to some of those doctors who may have spoken out. They see what have happened to some of those people who, you know, who didn't want to wear the face diapers and breathe in your own mouth farts. You know, people can visibly see that. So in their mind, subconsciously, they're like, it's like Jim said earlier, you know, we all come from a tribe. Well, to be kicked out of that tribe means what? It means death. Therefore, taking advantage of your fear of death, you know. So and then we can look at darkness, you know. They're always telling you stay in the dark, you know, stay ignorant. There's no need for you to think. And then they also manipulate and twist that too. You know, we talk about how obfuscation of words, you know, to twist, to deter, to bend. Well, you can do that, you know, hell with our fears too, you know. And then they portray as the ones who are trying to bring truth, as the ones who are, you know, the ones who are bringing the darkness. And they'll never ever mention the term shadow work. You've never ever heard that term mentioned on any of the, you know, like the mainstream platform or anybody, you know, that's been given a letter by Caesar and granted, you know, authority. You never ever hear them about doing shadow work or doing some form of internal work. So the manipulation of our fears is one of the biggest things, and especially the fear of death, you know, because as long as we have that fear of death, you will always hold yourself back from standing up and using your true voice. And that's really what they have done, is they have silenced that and use our own natural instincts, our own natural fears as a tool, as a weapon to keep us enslaved. And then pretty much just continue to enslave our own selves by way of constantly perpetuating those fears. So I'm going to pass it on to whoever wants to take it next.
That was awesome, Brandon. And you pretty much, I actually did write notes, guys, for this one. I got bullet points, Brandon, and you basically checked every one of them. You crushed it. So that's awesome. But yeah, I agree with what all of you guys are saying. And you bring up great points, each and every one of you. And I really thought about when I think of methods of manipulation, and I came at it from just, I think we all come at it from, you know, the same, just different ways, but we're all hitting on the same things. And for me, when I think of that, I think of the social engineers and how they are masters at triggering an emotional reaction or response from people, which I think is so dangerous when you're just reacting. And I also want to say that it doesn't mean that at the time that your emotional response isn't correct. It's not the correct emotional response, but what you have to do, and I think a lot of people don't do, is kind of step back and examine why you're having that reaction, and then kind of like do, you know, just not react, but actually step back from the situation a little bit and think about it and actually assess things before you just react. I think so many people are just in this reactive state right now, and I think that's so dangerous. So, and then I also think of what they do to people, and I just see it all over the place. They divide people. They're masters of what they do. Keep people divided and fighting, and mostly fighting about things that really don't matter in the long run. They're not really getting us any closer to freedom. It's not getting us anywhere. We say we want freedom, but then we're arguing about things that aren't really getting us any closer to it. And I think they do that on purpose. And you also said, Brandon, perfect. Fear was a big one that I had. I think so many people are coming, they're reacting, and it's all fear-based. And for me, during COVID, and that, it was definitely guilt. That's a big one they do, too, is this guilt and, like, emotional blackmail, kind of. And that was happening so bad during then, as we all know. And it's just, yeah, they're really good at what they do. And I think that's what we have to realize we're up against. And the other thing I see them doing, too, is repetition. I think, you know, you repeat it enough and by enough people, that becomes very effective. And I think we can all think of situations where, you know, you just more people join in and start, and they start repeating whatever it is. And the more people that get behind it, the more people that start repeating it, more people start following it. And so, you know, it's like this, you know, it's really a technique that is being used on us right now. And I think a lot of things that start off could get infiltrated and kind of pollute great ideas. You know, I think things start from a great spot, and then, you know, the bad people get in there and start infiltrating and dividing again and starting from the inside and like rotting the message from the inside out. So that's what I wanted to add. I just think that when I think of the methods of manipulation, they're so vast and done in so many ways. And I think definitely know that social media is, you know, and it kind of builds on what Jim was saying. Like, I think about as tech, you know, back, you know, thousands of years ago, I think it was harder to manipulate people because it was harder to get the message around. Like, it was slower. Now with technology, it's so quick that you can just, as tech's improving, the manipulation is becoming so quick and so vast, and it's just instant. And I think that we have to be really aware of that. You know, thousands of years ago, I think it took a long time. You know, you could do it, but it wasn't as quick as it is now. So I think that's one of the bad sides to tech, is that we have to be careful of that. So that's my thoughts, guys. When I think of the methods of manipulation, I think that we could sit here for days and all the different methods they're using against us. So that's my thoughts, and I'll pass it on to Derek.
Yo, thank you, fellas, gentlemen. Yeah, great points all around so far. Yeah, that fear of death really controls people's whole entire lives. And I like to see things mm-hmm. through psychological perspectives a lot of times. And like, on the flip side of death, like at birth, when we're growing up and this and that, we're still trying to figure out, you know, boundaries and reality and stuff. And we're trying to cater to our like most primal needs. And so, yeah, if you haven't noticed, you know, kids tend to kind of like do whatever to kind of try to get what they want sometimes. And that could just be through non-verbal stuff of just like crying or that kind of stuff early on. But yeah, unfortunately, some of this childish behavior carries on into adulthood, where people are still in a mindset of like, oh, I have to manipulate someone to get what I want type of thing, instead of like taking full responsibility of their lives. And emphasize that, because Rick, when you were talking about, people are like manipulated to react to something. And that's also because we're manipulated to be operating from that R complex of the brain, where it's that fight or flight mode, where you have that, more of a reactionary thing, instead of like someone being more calm and composed, having the ability to respond responsibly, whatever, you know? So, mm-hmm. That totally made me think about what I had noted of as far as like the dialectics that are so goddamn Hegelian dialects of, you know, the, you know, y'all know this one, right? In the century of psyops, and that's where the Loomis from Chinatown Radio had a great conversation with him. He mentioned that, yeah, like psychological operations seem to be paramount in this past, you know, 20th century. With the rise of technology, as you said, and like, yeah, there's so many different ways that they're coming up with, you know, since the 1990s, you know, thinking back of, I mean, just our financial system, that's manipulation. So many creations of society that have people limited to such a degree where like if we're in America, yeah, we have to understand, you know, insurance and all this, you know, stuff and the fees and credit scores and all these things that kind of limit one's freedom to just kind of like properly and freely purchase and acquire things and property and other stuff. And if you want to drive a car, Jim, like I said last episode, yeah, we're all compromised to so many degrees based off of like so many tactics of manipulation, unfortunately. And going back to the Hegelian dialectic, yeah, of course, you know, it's like manufacturers creating possibly a false flag, or it could be tailing off of something that actually happened, but the problem reaction solution, right? So they're manufacturing usually all of it. You know, they want to manufacture a certain type of mass reaction of the public, and they like to play both sides of the coin. Think of controlled opposition and all that. And they already have a couple solutions in hand to offer to the public. And in the time of when people are in that fight or flight, our complex, you know, reptilian part of the brain, yes, they're going to be a lot more persuaded, convinced, and manipulated that way. And as far as the word persuasion, watching a couple of videos about that, I think it was a lawyer who mentions, you know, differences between persuasion and manipulation. And persuasion is more of, you know, it's either going to be a win for one side or a win-win. There's not going to be someone taking a loss really in that kind of interaction or transaction. But as far as like manipulation, it's usually based on some kind of lie. As far as like human interaction, like, Chris, I appreciate you mentioning the whole like, yeah, like we have to manipulate certain things in reality to construct and build certain things. And Jim, what you said about, you know, us manipulating nature and kind of getting imbalanced with that and not understanding our proper symbiotic relationship with that. We've been completely, you know, imbalanced and, you know, taken way much more than, you know, given back. I mean, like, I really like what you mentioned with all, like, you know, ancestral aspects. And, you know, I really liked learning about, from what little smidgen I did growing up in school, California, talking about, like, Miwoks and Native American culture. And that they did try to stay balanced with the land. And yeah, they only took what they needed and tried to give back and give thanks and praise and all that. It was a very, you know, walking on sacred land type of stuff. And where today it's like, we just take that shit for granted. Mm-hmm. We could talk about how our connection with the earth is manipulated just, you know, from the technology of, you know, wearing shoes. And, my ex-wife was from Tahiti, and they have a saying or kind of story about how man lost its connection with earth, you know, just by an inch or half an inch, just because of sandals or something like that. Like, since we're not barefoot anymore, we're not getting that, you know, earth touch as we normally should be. And like, unfortunately, yes, the elements are polluted and all that stuff compromised, like I mentioned in the last video, due to, yeah, excessive manipulation of a lot of stuff and not being responsible for, you know, the cause and effects of the negative effects that we've seen and how the elements are polluted. So if we're trying to be grounded on the earth, yeah, unfortunately things are a little polluted. I'm getting off track, but yeah. Jerry, what's good, man?
Thanks for the pass, brother. Man, I was enjoying what I was hearing. So can't wait for what you have to say next. But with the methods of manipulation, this is a juicy topic. So really, what I have to say is to be aware of what manipulation is. Trust your gut. If you think you're being manipulated, it's most likely correct. And I'll just throw out an example there. Like with money, I would get the feeling my dad was manipulating me because he would act this way. But when he needed something, I could tell he kind of switched and he would sort of beg for money. And I'm just like, there's got to be another way. Like, you can't use me to rescue you. Like, you have to make sure you're good. And I'm right. Like, you know, I kept denying it. We know where that gets us. But yeah, if I had to say a method, I would have to think it starts from thinking, right? Like the principle of mentalism, like it all starts with a thought. And like Derek was saying, we all manipulate, and it starts from childhood and then evolves into adulthood. And you can either take the personal gain route or a win-win route. But as far as methods, I would reiterate, it starts from the mind. So with government, they have these plans. Like, I'm sure they're writing up plans 100 years from now. Like, don't they have that 2030 agenda? Like, they're manipulating us into eating bugs and whatnot. Like, oh, it's better for your health. It's cheaper. And I'm sure they have more plans up in, down the road, but I'll leave it there.
Well, the thing about tricks, Jerry, is they're tricky. You know, and it's hard for people to admit that they're trickable or gullible. You know, no one wants to be gullible, and no one wants to admit they've been tricked. And the more that people have been tricked, and the longer they've been tricked, the harder it is to come around and say, yeah, I've been tricked all this time. It gets harder and harder to see the trickery. And there's trickery in all levels and aspects of our society, in our culture. And so when I was thinking about methods of manipulation, I was thinking about it on two different levels, right? There's the bigger level, what Jerry was just talking about last, was like, you know, what are they doing? You know, what are these cultural engineers, as Derek put it, you know, planning behind the scenes? Or like, you know, Jerry was saying, you know, they're planned for 2030 or 2040 or 2050. You know, they got plans for all this shit, right? You know, there's UN, there's Rockefeller, there's the Crown, you know, there's Rothschilds, there's all the connections within, there's the corporate world. There's, you know, there's layers and layers of these external forces that want to vie for control of our energy and our resources, right? But what we can actually look for in terms of methods of manipulation to give us aid is to be able to see traps, to be able to understand them, be able to point them out so we can avoid them, so we can learn to work around them, so we can find ways to deal with them. So I was talking about two levels. We got the cultural level. That's what I'm talking about, cultural indoctrination. And that's what the reason we fall for the traps of easier is better. We need military and police protection because there's all these problems out there. We need religions because there's some forces we don't understand and we need this thing to take care of us. You know, it's like we need big pharma to protect us from sicknesses and diseases. We need the schools to regulate a system of how we should eat, like a food pyramid, or we need, you know, we need fast food as far as that goes, so we can get food quickly, you know, in case we're, you know, we need it right away, you know. And then this whole idea of materialism and keeping to yourself and just working for what you need. You know, like all these are part of this big mush of the cultural indoctrination, which is basically Satanism. You know, Mark Passio puts that really well. But all of these things, they also tie in. Then there's another, the term that ties them all in, and it's called collectivism and collectivist thinking. And people get pulled into collectivist thinking with their emotions, like you guys talked about in the beginning. Both Brandon and Rick brought that up, you know, the way we get pulled in emotionally. So people will, you know, someone might say on the larger scale, oh, there's this big enemy over there. There's these terrorists, or there's these big bad wolves out in the woods. So you need our protection, and we need all, everybody needs to give me their money so I can get enough, you know, tools to fight off these big bad wolves. You know, it's like, that's the Hegelian dialectic that Derek was talking about, you know, that so culturally, we're spinning and selling and falling for these ideas that are affecting our emotions and scaring us to make us fall into all these little silly traps where what we should be doing is taking personal self-responsibility. And then, you know, the other level, the second level I was going to talk about is more like our interpersonal relationships. And I think, honestly, that aspect is even more actionable for us in a real way, because when we realize that those bigger cultural indoctrination belief systems that are affecting us, it has a trickle-down effect, and we wind up repeating these fucked up ways of treating each other, manipulating each other in our relationships, and people do it to each other all day long, in relationships at work, in relationships at school, and then even personal relationships. People are repeating these fucked up collectivist, Satanist kind of ideals and treating each other in these ways, which are, you know, generally different forms of lying that we repeat onto each other. So trying to start separate and color some of these ideas, because there's so many, that's kind of where I'll stop for now and pass it on. I think we're, what, back to Rick?
No, that was great points, Chris, about like the how, like, when I think about that, all the manipulation that we see going on before us, and to think that it's not going to somehow trickle in and affect how we interact with ourselves and other people, it would just be naive, right? I mean, you see it, and then it definitely would affect so many aspects, like if you're not careful, like then you kind of justify your manipulation just because you're seeing it taking effect, like it's happening all around you. So I can see what you're saying. That's so powerful. And then I also think about how they sell these manipulations to people, and it always seems to be some good-looking person. They stick up on a stage who's really charismatic, can really sell the message. They might put a few letters before their name, and then it seems that people just are so eager and willing just to buy into whatever they're selling. It's because I think of all the way that they do it, and they always got some, like I said, charismatic person that's selling this and putting them up on as the spokesperson, and they're smarter than everybody, and they know what's going on, and they're going to fix it. And that's why I was saying, like, when you think about this, these methods of manipulation, and I'm so glad that we're talking about this, because you're all bringing up so many amazing points, and it's such a big, like you said, ball, Chris, when you start diving into this. And I think we're being, I was saying today to my wife that I think we're being manipulated pretty much from the time we're born, to some degree or another. And that doesn't mean it's all bad, but we're definitely being manipulated. Like you were saying, Chris, at the beginning, like, you know, you're manipulating things even when you're building and stuff. So it's a big topic. So that's all I got to say. Whoever wants to add on to that would be
great. Well, when you talk about, you know, the indoctrination, the cultural indoctrination, and one of the biggest method of manipulation is something that we all started when we were young, right? Is there anyone here who didn't go to school, right? And they know that, like, they know that they got to get us programmed between those formative years, like between, like Rick said, when from the time we're born until the time we're like 8 years old, that's the time when they need to manipulate us to be indoctrinated to believe in all their authority, right? And I always like listening to that guy, John Taylor Gatto, and I just like to throw out there, anyone, there's a great series called The Ultimate History Lesson, which he's interviewed by Richard Grove. And there's a part there where John Taylor Gatto, for anyone who doesn't know, was a highly esteemed teacher. And he starts speaking out about, you know, his role is in the culture of being a teacher, what he came, the conclusion he came to. And what a great analogy he gives as a method of manipulation is, like, he was talking about the flea circuses. And flea circuses is kind of like a sideshow where people could get fleas to do like little tricks and stuff. But right, so for anyone who didn't know what that is, but they're still around, I think. But anyway, so how do you get fleas to do what you want them to do? Like, that's manipulation. So what they would do was they would take the fleas and put them in a container. And left alone, the fleas would, of course, jump out of the container and go do all the things that fleas want to do. But if you put a lid on the container, then the fleas just keep on jumping up and banging their head against the container for a few hours and however long it takes, and they give up. And so that's what is needed to be done, is they're breaking the will, they're breaking the spirit and the autonomy of the flea. And this guy, John Taylor Gatto, as a teacher, he realized, he was like, he had this aha moment. He's like, that's what I am. That's my role as a school teacher. I am the lid. I am, my position in the culture is to be the one who breaks the spirit of this, of the school children, and gets them to be obedient little, good little citizens. Wow. Right? So
that's cool.
Definitely a method of manipulation. And just to be straight up honest, I have two kids in the school system, and I'm not proud of that, but they've got two more years left. But I've seen it. I've seen, you know, what they've been able to do. The authority, how they listen to those authority figures over me a lot of times. It's sickening, but pass it off to Brandon.
We can't talk about methods of manipulation without bringing up the shit fuckery of the media. I mean, the media has always been a shitstorm. Doesn't matter what time, it doesn't matter, you know, what age, it doesn't matter where you are located. If you look up what the etymology of the word media means, it's the media. You know, it's the middle point. It's the middle point between your consciousness, which would be, you know, the lower point, and then of course the controllers, the social engineers. You know, that's the way for them to target you and spread their level of influence. And you hear a lot today, the media is left. Well, no, it's not. It's not left. It's not right. It's just whatever is being told, you know, by the controllers. Let's rewind back to, you know, the early 2000s, you know, when we were told, you know, Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Was the media, you know, using right, you know, like talking points then? Yes, but that doesn't mean it was actually right, because it'll switch based on whatever narrative that the controllers want it to be. And the media just blatantly lies. It just blatantly lies. And it uses, of course, you know, repetition. So let's look up, you know, some of the worst lies that the media has spread. Of course, you know, the weapons of mass destruction. Hell, number two, a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We all remember that, right? A pandemic of the unvaccinated. And then let's not forget that the media was also saying that Joseph Stalin was not starving out, you know, millions of his own, you know, people, that there was no famine in Russia. The mainstream media just went along with that and just blatantly lied, when, of course, you know, the communist regime were, you know, starving out millions of individuals. But the mainstream media, you know, just lied. And, you know, saying, oh, no, no, it's just a conspiracy theory. And how can we forget in the early 1990s, the little Kuwaiti girl, you know, she went in front of Congress and she was saying, oh, those individuals were, you know, taking the babies out their incubators, you know, just blatantly lied. And the media ran that mess so many times. And then what did that lead to? More massive, massive chaos, more and more lives lost, you know, more and more death. And then two, hell number five would be the Gulf of Tonkin incident, you know, which we all know, you know, came out to be a big historic false flag. And I think one of the individuals who was involved in the incident, he said, for all we know, we were just out there shooting at pretty much nothing. So the media was used to spread these lies throughout all of these instances. And I want to ask you a question. When do you ever see the color green in any kind of newscast, you know, outside of the NBC logo? But do you ever see the color green? No. What's the main color that you usually see? Red, you know, blue. Yeah. I'm like, there's a particular reason, because, you know, not only are these colors, but these are frequencies. You know, so usually they'll use the term red, you know, when it's breaking news, you know, pay attention. You know, Donald Trump just did something, you know, because it's the masculine color that's going to draw your attention, saying, hey, pay attention. This is what you need to be alert on. You need to be aware of this. And then they'll use, you know, the frequency of the color blue, you know, when they want, you know, like when they want a more calm effect, you know, like when they kind of want it to kind of flow by in your subconscious, you know, because, you know, it's a feminine color, it's non-threatening. And then too, you have to look at the symbols that are used in all of these mainstream media, you know, logos. They all use a lot of solar symbolism or a lot of astro-theological, you know, symbolism. And it's all for a reason. It's all for a reason. So who was spreading the propaganda in Nazi Germany? Was it not the media of their time? Yes, it was. Who was spreading the propaganda in the USSR, Soviet, you know, Gestapo Russia? Was it not the media of their time? Who was spreading the propaganda in the early American states when that tyrant king claimed to have owned the land here? Was it not the media and the newspapers, you know, spreading out all of that propaganda, saying you need to pay your fair share in taxes? Who was spreading the propaganda even before the printing press? A lot of people don't know this. Was it not the media? Who was the media? Was it not the man on the street, the little boy, or, you know, the male, you know, who would get up early in the mornings and he would be paid, you know, by whoever owned the land, you know, from the king or one of the lords, to spread propaganda, to spread the lies, because they had their spies, you know, everywhere to say, hey, you know, England lost the war, you know, so you need to, you know, you need to hand over all of your, you know, like all of your banking notes. It was all propaganda, all being spread by the media. And it doesn't matter if their media came in the form of newspaper, doesn't matter if their media came in the form of radio, doesn't matter if their media came in the form of television, doesn't matter if their media came in the form of the internet. Because people will say, oh, you know, CNN and all that stuff is not. People are just going toward Facebook. People are just going toward TikTok. People are just going toward freaking Instagram. People are just going toward YouTube Shorts to get their media. To get their media. And what has been the reflection of that? What has been the consequences of, you know, of this? Just look at all the lives lost, you know, from us going over into the Middle East. And just like I said, how the media lies. Hey, I hate to inform you, the internet was created to control you. If you go and look at it was created by DARPA. It wasn't called DARPA. It was called ARPA, Advanced Research Projects Agency. And they wanted to sell a means to control, you know, the population in the late 60s and early 70s. But of course, they couldn't, you know, just come out and say, well, you know, it was used as a means to control. So they had to say, well, no, you know, it could be used for a means to spread information. You know, it could be used for a means for us to communicate, you know, which sounds like a, you know, like a wonderful thing. But now we look at, you know, what it is turning, you know, into a means of power. And there, you know, still are trying to control it. And unfortunately, you know, with the low level of consciousness, they probably, you know, will try to get to that point. But we have to look at what the media has told us and all the damage that it has done, because it has been insidious, you know. So,
and what's messed up, Brandon, is that they never get held accountable. Very rarely,
yeah,
does the media get held accountable for any of the shit they cause. They just move on to the next story, and people don't say anything. And it just, that's what frustrates me the most. Is it, there's no accountability. They just say whatever they want or what they're told to say.
Yeah. Because they just read off a script.
Yeah.
And then also understand that all those scripts are written by advanced script writers who just scribble shit down on paper, and they get you to subscribe to their scribbles. You know, so it's a lot of tailored, indoctrinated language to push a certain narrative into your consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that's why you should be turning that crap off and understanding these methods. Because it is only until we understand the methods of manipulation we can pull ourselves out of this manipulation. Because don't think for one second that we're going to pull ourselves out if we don't understand how, you know.
Yeah, and in terms of the words, you know, I'm just going to briefly tap onto, you know, some of these things people have probably heard of and seen in different places, but if you haven't researched NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, you know, that's an important study to learn about and how it works and how it's used in speeches and it's used in the words in advertisements. And then understanding, you know, they call, who's that guy, the Bernays, the father of advertising, you know, who's a distant relative of Freud. And, you know, you look back at behaviorism. I really want to point people towards Brandon's work, Brandon Spencer's work on behaviorism. You know, I was just catching up on his videos on that, and really good look depth, the most influential psychologist of all time, B.F. Skinner. And, you know, that whole Skinnerian, using that Pavlovian tests on people and treating them like dogs. And that is exactly the formula that went into creating the perfect citizen, Nazi Germany, that created that whole setup there. And that was the same system that was brought here to America's schools. And John Taylor Gatto will talk about how some of that happened, how, you know, people went over there and studied how they created citizens, and they brought that same system here. And it's, you know, that behaviorism, understanding Skinner, understanding Pavlov, understanding how humans can be modulated. They can be affected. They can be manipulated. We're very programmable. And these people that have just studied, like, reward and failure, you know, and punishment, and treating humans just like you would a dog in a cage. And they've gone as far as electrocuting animals and all manner of evil, terrible tests to kind of come to these conclusions of what works, leaving out completely morality and what's right. And that's what we're here to do, is kind of remind people that we got to rethink what's right and morality, because it hasn't been in the context of this conversation. It hasn't been there in school. And in religion, it's so on a side rail that you're like an imagination world when you're thinking about morality. And oftentimes when we bring up morality, that's what happens, is people's minds go back to religion, which is wacky world, you know, where lightning bolts are falling from the sky and gods are telling humans to kill other peoples, and it's okay one day and it's not another, and women are supposed to cover their hair and you're not supposed to eat on Sunday or whatever the fuck. No wonder people are confused about morality. But it's simple. You know, when you look back, you can see that, like I said, this is all Satanism, moral relativism, collectivism. These kind of major concepts are the umbrella that, if you trace back all these things we're talking about, the media, the lies, all these manipulative methods, you can always see where they're coming from. And we start to understand things like collectivism and Satanism is the concepts that we can create our own reality. We can ignore natural law. We can create, we can do what we want, have power over other people. And we can escape the consequences. And convincing people of this materialism world that it's just materialism and all that other shit's just made up. They've got people believing that. We're in that bubble right now. We need to break it and recognize that we're in a stupid fake bubble. And that is what we're seeing, and also what we're repeating on each other. And I think one of the most common things you see with people is people that are what I call like emotional vampires. They're very low level of self-knowledge, very low level of being able to energize their own energy. And they go around the world sucking other people's fucking energy. And they do it in little subtle ways by acting like an asshole. When they're feeling low, they lash out and they steal other people's energy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are too kind of like hidden inside of themselves and don't have enough confidence. They're a little bit too cowardly, because they're used to submitting every day, to recognize the vampires around them, and they're getting their energy sucked. And they just go and sort of codependently allow people to suck their energy day in and day out. So all these like shitty ass things that are going on in the big scale that we're talking about are also happening on the interpersonal scale, in the way people treat one another and acting like, oh, poor me. Oh, my life is so hard. I can't do anything because something bad happened to me in the past. So I can't take responsibility from here and start doing the right thing to other people and start paying it forward to myself and others. You know, it's like, that's where we start breaking this chain. And that's where we start like taking these big ideas and bringing them down to something we can tangibly deal with. We don't suck other people's energy. We don't lie to people to get them to do things. We don't tell a story of guilt in order to make sell somebody what we want them to hear. We learn to speak clearly and ask questions when we need to understand where people are coming from and be able to ask for help when we need it clearly without expecting someone to help us out of guilt or because we said it in a certain way or because they're a family member or because we flattered them or we act so sad that we can't do it on our own. That's the kind of shit that repeats, these methods of manipulation onto each other that they're doing us on the bigger scale, the governments and the religions.
Hell yeah, mouthful. Chris.
That was awesome. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the moral is don't drink the fucking Kool-Aid.
Sum up the whole video.
No, cheers to that. And just to mention something, I love the fact you brought up a lot of, law correspondence with the micro to the macro, and we can see the mirror reflection of how things are being played out on the individual level, interpersonal, like you said, and on the larger scale in society and kind of how the government operates as well sometimes and how they're kind of picking up some social cues from us and kind of incorporating into add on to their long list of manipulation tactics. And one manipulation tactic I wanted to bring up is placation, which kind of means to make someone less angry or hostile, kind of like how the politics are, giving someone false promises so they don't get attacked by the mob type of thing, And so, that has a pretty big snowball effect, especially over time and this and that. And just like there's a lot of compounding of manipulation because, take it back from, anyone's family generations and like the trauma that's accumulated within that, family ancestral line or whatever. So there's like a lot of stuff to be considered, like someone on a multitude of levels. And the whole media stuff, the weapons of mass deception and distraction as well to keep playing on both sides of our hemisphere to keep us imbalanced. Well said, Brandon. They come up with all these little flashy things to lure our attention, and there's so much people can study up on all these just like from the media itself and some of the Bernaysian ways that it's been influenced through propaganda and stuff. Look up Chomsky is not bad for mainstream, but as I was alluding to, just to get my notes out of the way of what I wanted to say, the Pavlovian monkey mindedness is something, man. But the Pavlovian dogs, and there's been so many. How many things have been studied like this? And think about MK Ultra, and then going back to the media, like. Operation Mockingbird or whatever, Operation Northwoods and all these things that, these are written, documented things, even declassified at this point that people can look up. It's nothing like we're not making shit up about this stuff. And religious dogma has been around for fucking ever, and that's like something that we could easily pick apart. And we kind of did that in a previous, discussion. Folks can find that, under our, One Great Work Warrior playlist. But Chris, thank you so much for bringing up the whole narcissistic aspect of things and how it drives people's behaviors to continue this vicious cycle of any kind of manipulation upon any other person, like whether it be on their level above or below. The narcissistic NSPs is what Mario West calls it, narcissistic sociopath and psychopath. If you study, you can do a keyword search and look up, manipulation methods of a psychopath or a narcissist or whatever, and folks can find all types of stuff. And so for us to understand all these methods on the psychological level, first and foremost, like the mentalism behind it all, that will help us not be so manipulated ourselves and fall victim to these things and be duped and all that stuff. Chris, you said no one wants to be fucking duped or even admit it, but we all have to kind of come to terms that we've been kind of born into this fallen time matrix, if you want to take it that far, whatever, just like all the corruption going on that, we all kind of got to come to terms with that and use that humblingness to just, redeem oneself. You know, it's so much better on the other side once you're free from the chains and like, taking the tentacles off yourself, of the octopus of manipulation and, the multitude of things, that come with it all. Unfortunately, we got to fucking deal with that, and we could help each other. Chris, like you said, you know, it's nothing against anyone for to ask for help. We all need some guidance, mentorship, you know, growing up. So yeah, thank you, gentlemen, for everything you brought to the table. I'm gonna pass it on. Jerry, Jim, you got something?
Yeah, I just want to thank you guys for showing up, being here, teaching methods of manipulation. It's not a, you know, not a really topic talked about that much. So I'm glad that we were able to discuss this. And I have some homework to do regarding a lot of, you know, what you just said, Derek. Chomsky, I want to look into that. I encourage everyone who needs some refreshing to go over Operation Mockingbird, just to know what we're doing this for, so know what we're fighting for. Yeah, I really am inspired by you guys, and thanks for listening. That's all I got.
Yeah, and that MK Ultra research goes deep. There's quite a few different people that have written about their stories and experiences being put through that type of programming, but you can also see it in just about every big blockbuster movie out there, the symbolism. And, you know, just to put it really simply, it starts out by traumatizing the viewer or the watcher, you know, and Disney's a perfect example. You watch any Disney movie, in the very beginning, usually one of them, the mother, the father, or both of them die. There's some traumatic event that traumatizes the child. And then, you know, what the next stage is that they would do to traumatize a young person to psychologically and fractionalize someone's brain is to put them in a position where somehow they feel guilty for the death of their best friend or a little animal. And so some friend or animal is killed or destroyed or changed in front of them in such a way that traumatizes them, fractionalizes them, and they become kind of like a split personality. And then if you're kind of orchestrating all this, you can guide one of the personalities to, you know, that you can manipulate. And this has been done on a mass scale with people with all the movies and the media, as Brandon pointed out. And so, you know, like I recommend people look a little deeper into understanding MK Ultra and its origins. And once you start to see how it's been done to individuals, you can also see how it's being done on the large scale through the media.
For sure. I do have one last method of manipulation, which isn't really talked about as much, but the use of subversion. You know, this was brought on the scene by Yuri Bezmenov. And I could hear him, you know, like in the back of my mind, subversion. But subversion just means to topple over, you know, like to overthrow. And it can also mean to overthrow a law. So, you know, they're using subversion to try to topple over the inherent, immutable natural laws. And to subvert something just means physical destruction, you know, to demolish. So basically what you do is you bombard individuals with so much information to the point where it's a stimulation overload, to the point where they're confused. They can't consciously discern truth from falsehood. And therefore, you let the vampire enter your home. You know, just like the old saying, you know, the vampire has to be invited. Well, you know, if you use subversion, you know, like you just let them in because you're so confused. You don't know who's good. You don't know who's bad. You know, you don't know what's truth. You know, you don't know what's false. And that's what we see. And he broke subversion down into like four main tenets. And the biggest one was demoralization. And we've seen that, you know, people have been demoralized. You know, they've seen so much fear. They've seen so much violence, seen so much rape, you know, have so much war, so much coercion, so much theft, you know, like just so much negative form of consciousness being bombarded over and over and over by means of repetition. It has literally brought out their animalistic lower level forms of consciousness. So they have been demoralized and actually animalized. I don't even know if that's a word, you know, but their lower level base instincts are starting to kick in, that fear and response mechanism. And that's what we have seen with the whole demoralization. And that was the first step. And he said, like, that's the most important step, because you can't subvert people who are good moral individuals, because good moral individuals will step up and use the right amount of defense to stop this subversion. So it's sort of like, you know, the whole totalitarian tiptoe, you know, where you do small increments, and then you put the frog, you know, in the pot, and you slowly turn, you know, help the pot up to where it starts boiling. Well, that's pretty much what the whole point of demoralization was, from the means of subversion. So then once we have been demoralized, that would lead to destabilization. And that was the second step. And you destabilize that particular area. You destabilize anything that made that society strong. You destabilize any form of principles. You destabilize any strong boundaries. You destabilize any form of connections, you know, like to any higher form of consciousness or to any deity. You destabilize their economy. You destabilize their relationships with other people, to the point to where it creates an external form of chaos, which leads into the third topic, which was crisis. Well, think about it. If people are already demoralized, people don't understand right from wrong. People are, you know, using forms of violence, you know, engaged in forms of theft. Things are starting to break around from a societal aspect. Only other thing that's going to happen is a form of crisis, a massive form of chaos. And this was usually like a civil war or an invasion, you know, sort of like what we're seeing now, unfortunately. And in this forms of crisis, there's a lot of violence, man, because you have to spread the trauma. You have to spread the fear. You have to install the trauma. And this is key, because once things get normalized, once things, you know, like come back to settle down, once that regime and power has been shifted and there's another person taking these forms of ranks, then he knows or she knows that the people have been traumatized. So they call that normalization. And what they do is you bring in more stability. But the only way to bring in more stability is you go in and you wipe out and you clean out all of the ones who brought in the instability beforehand. And that's why in every communistic regime, they shot the ones who brought them in, because they knew too many secrets. You know, I mean, just think about it. If you know how to use these tactics and you use them to get me in power, could you not also use these tactics to get someone else in power? So you would go in and you would just pretty much wipe out everything, because the new dictator needs stability. He needs good, loyal, obedient leaders. He don't need people who are going to be out there talking about transgender rights. He don't need anyone out there who's going to be talking about freedom. He don't need anyone who's going to be out there talking about, you know, women's rights, which, you know, rights only exist as an individual. But what I'm saying is these are all tactics of Marxist indoctrination. Like, subversion was one of the main tactics of Marxist indoctrination. And subversion would also use means of dialectical manipulation. You know, hey, someone said something about your mama. Oh, man, he stepped on your Jordans. You know, so it's just all to create forms of cataclysm and division and friction within communities and within individuals. And that way, when you're fighting, they are planning, you know, a means to take over. And that's what the whole Marxist ideology was all about, was to create so much chaos, create so much division. You get the idiots fighting with each other, then we just come in and we just take up, you know, everything, because they're fighting each other. They're using their, you know, like their means or resources for on each other. They're going to be too tired to fight back. So it's going to be like lamb to the slaughter. So yeah, the use of subversion has been one of the main ideologies that's literally destroying people's consciousness, and they don't even know about it.
Yeah, there's just so much more too. I mean, I feel like this topic's got more to talk, but that's why we're going to continue the conversation on the Roundtable and Evil Podcast Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And I think next week, like Rick said, on November 7th, we'll open the roundtable. And if other people want to jump in on this topic, there's definitely space for more discussion on it. Did any of you guys want to close up on any thoughts before I kind of conclude here? Go ahead, Derek.
Jerry, I want you to say something if you got something on your mind, brother, because I just spoke recently. But yeah, I just wanted to mention and emphasize on, like, so much of these manipulation tactics, especially regarding the media and stuff, it's really to manipulate our perception on reality. And this is huge with what you guys mentioned before, the formative years, education, right? So we have to understand who is controlling these institutions, follow the money, if you will, that kind of stuff. But some words of encouragement in regards and in face of all the divide and conquer strategies that we can all play our part in removing ourselves from that, trying to dissolve these divides, like Leslie Powers and I on our show, and really understand natural law, your universal God-given rights are from the creator, if you don't like the word God, whatever, but just these are eternal axioms of just like you're a part of the integral multidimensional being that you are. Step into that, you know, embodiment of that, please, guys. And understand, yes, language is so huge as far as like a manipulation tactic, dialectics, Brandon, as you alluded to before. And understanding our grammar, right, as far as like the whole trivium process as well, the threefold path, but also as well, what also I realized, which helps out a lot in, distinguishing certain, you know, manipulative tactics as well, especially in conversation or when you're listening to anything on the television, news especially, are logical fallacies. You know, there's dozens of them. And if we study those, we understand a lot of the manipulation tactics, and we can just, you know, see through the bullshit as well. So that's just kind of what I wanted to finish up on. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, just sign up for $99.99, and we're going to send you a pair of glasses, and you can see through the bullshit with these glasses, just like the movie, you know. Too bad we didn't have those, because there's a lot of bullshit to see through.
Could you imagine? Oh, my God.
They live, what?
They live, they yeah. Live, that's what yeah. I was thinking about. Oh, yeah, and I was trying to think of Kathy O'Brien when I was talking about MKUltra. Kathy O'Brien's a good one to start with, and there's others, you know, to look into, but she did a pretty – the transformation of America.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't even touch that much on health and food, you know, food bombs, stomach bombs, you know. The poison, that's why I brought up the Kool-Aid, you know, the fucking Kool-Aid, right? Like, don't drink the Kool-Aid. I don't know where that comes from, but literally, like, I mean, I guess you can imagine going to a party and who knows what they put in the Kool-Aid, right? Like, maybe you shouldn't drink
from
that
the
Kool-Aid.
Never drink the punch.
Jim Jones. Jim Jones cult.
Oh, okay, that's where it came from. You're right. Thanks, Jim.
You're right.
But for, you know, for the modern day, the Kool-Aid is like, vaccines, man. It's the masks. Yeah. It's the whatever shit they're coming down next with down the pipe, trying to sell you, whether it's Ukraine or you know, whatever's going on right now. That's the Kool-Aid. You know, don't drink it. You don't watch that shit unless you're trying to next level work on yourself somehow and, you know, swallow the black bitter pill that's reality and, you know, understand it on a deeper level. Don't waste your time with it, you know?
Yeah.
99% of that stuff out there is some sort of manipulative lie that's designed to grab a hold of your emotions. And when you understand yourself, you're not going to be so easily swayed.
That's a good point.
Do that.
Yep. I just want to thank all of you guys for being here and doing these shows, guys. I really do enjoy these conversations and I learn from them. And so I just want to thank you guys for taking the time to come and do these shows. And I also want to thank everybody who's taking the time to come and watch these shows. And hopefully we give you lots to think about. And please, as I said at the beginning, come and weigh in. If you want to weigh in on this topic, please, December 7th, come and check it out. End Evil Podcast. You can get in on the panel and you can express your thoughts, give us your thoughts, what you're thinking about and what you thought of this conversation and maybe some of the other shows that we've done. And that is, as Chris said, I think he said 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 9 p.m. Pacific time. Nine and Eastern. Then 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, so please, share this share, with guys. Friends. Yeah. Pass it along.
Absolutely. And just to expand on what Rick said, even if you are a little nervous, you don't even have to talk, you know. You don't even have to show your face, you know, like just you know, just come and join. You know, exactly. Like no one's going to force you to talk. No one's going to force you to show your face. It's just, you know, like just getting involved just to kind of ease that internal tension. Like no one's going to have a problem with that. If, you know, if we can help encourage you and that's what you need to do, hey, I don't think no one's going to complain about that.
Yeah, great show, guys. Ooh. And, you know, you guys don't realize, but these guys show up every week and we discuss these topics and plan these shows and no one's getting paid to do this. We're getting paid in universal credit, universal yeah. care credit for being alive, responsibility of being a human and trying to feel decent about it in this fucked up world. So, you know, take some inspiration and motivation from these other five gentlemen here and how, brave they've been and consistent, and if they can do it, you can too. Well, thanks for joining us. Good night.
Peace.
You.
I came up with this word in some of my reading called somnambulistic. And what that is like sleepwalking. It's like living life, but you're not actually awake and aware. And I think what's really interesting thing about that Lego movie is it's like the head character, he's kind of this dumbass and he's kind of bungling his way through. What am I supposed to do? And, you know, like the wise guy saying like, you got to actually think of something that nobody thought of before. You know, they're actually telling him he has to use creativity and that's what he has to do. You know, he has to learn how to use the Legos, you know, like build, make a circle into a wheel, you know, and that saves their life or whatever. It's just like using a little bit of imagination and creativity to kind of think around the problem. Every time I bring up these issues with people, like they get it on a certain level, like the taxes is stealing, like they're like, yeah, I get what you're saying, you know. But because they can't see from here to the finish line, and it seems like scary or unrealistic to go from where we're at now to a world where we're all self-responsible, then it can't happen because I can't imagine it. Therefore, well, let's just go with the shitty program we got now of cheating and stealing and raping one another. But the back to the Lego movie, the point I really want to make about that, and it's the same point I made in my presentation, is imagination, the having the ability to create and imagine, it has a lot to do with creation itself. And like people that are somnambulistic, that are asleep, they must not get that there's a God, that there is a master builder, you know, that there is intelligence, you know, mentalism, like you talked about, the universe is intelligent. And this is an amazing, fantastic, mind-blowing experience we're having here that we get an opportunity to live and be part of this amazing experience of creation. And how real is that? And how amazing is that? Why the fuck would you sleep through that? You know, there's work to be done. And that's if you're tuned in and if you've done the work enough to where you're not, your brain's not constantly distracted by all the little bullshit in Lego world, and you can actually focus for long enough to listen to the voice inside of you, it's going to tell you, do something good. Do something that shows you care, you know, and true care is always going to be a level of hard work or frustration or pain, but it doesn't have to be suffering, because we're not choosing just to, you know, like we talked about before, just to go through all the terrible bad things just to go through the terrible bad things.